Okay, so we're going to start. We're going to learn the sugya starting on Daf Samach Hei Amud Bet, which is the end of tomorrow's Daf. I assume most Daf Yomi Shiurim will start it on Tuesday, and this is the beginning of the sixth Perek, which deals with the question of offering up the Korban Pesach on Shabbat. We always have a lot to worry about when Shabbat is Erev Pesach. In terms of eating the seudot and getting rid of the chametz, we don't have to worry about the Korban Pesach. Unfortunately, I should say, we don't have to worry about the Korban Pesach. B'mhei Rav Yameinu, we should have to worry about it, but at the moment we don't. But obviously that was a big issue in the times of the Beit HaMikdash. So what we need to establish is which aspects of the offering up of the Korban Pesach were Doche Shabbat, and which aspects weren't. And also to find out why each of those aspects either were or weren't Doche Shabbat. So let's start with the Mishnah. Samach Hei Amud Bet. Eilu Devarim Befesach Dochin Et HaShabbat. So these are the aspects of the Korban Pesach which supersede Shabbat. Shchitato Uzrikat Damo. So the shechita, shechting it, uzrikat damo, and the zarika, the sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach. Umichui kravav, and the squeezing out of the innards. So this is actually a machloket in the Gemara further on, exactly what it means, whether it means removing the fat, scraping off the fat from it, or removing the juices, as it were, from inside the innards. But in any event, Rashi says, second wide line, Rashi explains, Mefarish b'gemara, v'tama shelo yasrichu, because you don't want the korban not to start putrefying before the evening. V'haktarat chalavav, and offering up the chalev, aval tzliato, but roasting it, v'hadachat kravav, and rinsing off the innards, einan dochin et haShabbat. They don't supersede Shabbat. So we're going to see that there are various aspects which do supersede Shabbat, various aspects that don't supersede Shabbat. So we've said that the shechita and the zarika need to be done in the day. Now, if we look at Rashi, Rashi says shechita tos rikat damo. The shechita and the zrika, yef shale bayom, they have to be done in the day. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, bayom tzavoto lahakrivet korbanehem, bayom velo balayla. So korbanot are offered up bayom in the day and not at night. Now let's look at the Tosfot. Tosfot, dibo hamatchil elu, says as follow: zrikat damo, tana agav shechitato. So the reason why we're mentioning the Zrika is just by the by. In terms of, seeing as you're doing the Shechita, then you also do the Zrika as well. The Kasheleri, Amaylo Tananami Hefshet Oro Dache Shabbat. Why don't we say that the Hefshet also supersedes Shabbat, flaying the animal from its skin? So we'll deal with that second point in just a moment. But the first point is very, very important in Tosfot, because Tosfot's saying, Zrikat damo tana agav shchitato. It's just sort of lumped in there together with the shchita. Seeing as we're doing the shchita, we also do the zrika, in the day. But it's a question in the achronim, really, as to, why the zrika should be done on Shabbat and not left till after Shabbat, or alternatively, what's the chiddush that we're doing the zrika on Shabbat? In terms of, why do I need the Mishnah to tell me that the zrika can be done on Shabbat? In terms of, I understand that shechita is a malacha, but how is zrika a malacha? So if you look in the Merome Sadeh, I've given you that in the Makorot. The Merome Sadeh is the Netziv. So he quotes the Tosfot, Perish Ve'uha Tosfot, Dizrikat Damo, Tanagav Shkitato. V'nireta Ashmi'inan, Diyesh Bizrikat Adam Isur Shvut. There's an actual fact, it is a chidush that you can sprinkle the blood, because it's an Isur Shvut. It's Asur Midrabanan to sprinkle the blood. Why is it Asur Midrabanan to sprinkle the blood? So we're going to see momentarily. The nafkamina im nishchap shabbat be isur eiz a korban. So what happens if by mistake a korban was shechted be isur? It shouldn't have been shechted on shabbat. A person brings a neder or a nadava to the Beit HaMikdash, and there are an am haaretz, and the kohen who's looking after them is an am haaretz. Somehow or other, it gets shechted on shabbat. Asul is rok hadam. Then you can't do the zrika. If the zrika wasn't an Issur Shvut, then you could do it on Shabbat, and that would at least make the korban kosher. But here, it's in this case, we're saying that Zrika is an Issur Shvut, and therefore you can't do it for a korban that you weren't supposed to be offering up. V'tam ha'isur michshum ta'achshurei korbanhu. So the Nitziv gives us two reasons why it could be a shvut. Either because it's achshurei korban. That means it makes the korban fit to be eaten. It's just like we're going to see in the Gemara, we're going to see about hazaah. That if a person is tame and they need to have mechatat sprinkled on them, so that's a problem on Shabbat. Why is it a problem on Shabbat? Because it's metakin gavra. It's a sort of tikkun kli. It's not exactly makeb patish, but you're making the person who was tame, you're making him tahor. Likewise here, you're taking the korban, which was not able to be consumed, and now it's able to be consumed. So there's some sort of hechsher of the korban with the zrika. Or mishum de dam kodshim hu mukta. Or because blood is generally speaking mukta. It's got no use to it. So we could perhaps ask on this and say, no, mukta is sort of a relative concept in terms of maybe it's not mukta here because it's got a purpose. Its purpose is for the zarika. In terms of it's got a purpose in the sacrificial rite. It's not, independently by itself, a bowl of blood. If you find a bowl of blood in the street on Shabbat, besides calling the police, don't move it because it's mukta. But here if it's part of a korban, then it's not totally clear to me why it would be regarded as mukta. In any event, what the Nitziv has done for us is explain to us why the Mishnah needs to be mechadesh for us that the zrika can be done on Shabbat, and that's because it's an Isur Shavut. Back to the Tosfot. So Tosfot brought the kash of the Ri. Amai lo taninami hefshet oro dadachei Shabbat. Why don't we also mention that the hefshet, that flaying the animal, supersedes Shabbat? We haven't mentioned that. It's number firka de la el, as that's learnt previously. Yudal shechaliyot b'Shabbat meniach yado v'toleu mashit. The Mishnah explains how you flay the animal on Shabbat. Usually during the week you hang it on poles between two people. But on Shabbat, so you don't do that, because that's uftin d'chol. You stretch out and you put your hand on the other person's shoulder and they put their hand on your shoulder and you suspend the animal from your arms and then you do the hefshet. So that should be mentioned because hefshet, hamafshet, is one of the lametet havot melachot. So the Ri says, because the Hefshet is part and parcel of the Hekter Chalavav, that seeing as we've said, you can offer up the fats, so then obviously you must be able to do the Hefshet, because if you can't flay the animal, then you can't access the Chalavim. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch very called kids veyavar. If the Rabbanan defligi alei lo sharu lahavshit kedar ko elaz hechazeh v'asham mavshit v'chotech v'chatichok ketanot. So there's a discussion exactly how that hefshet works and how much of the animal you can flay. But the point is that the flaying is included, if you like, with the notion of with the notion of the hekder chalavim. Okay, let's go on a little bit in the Mishnah. The chatichat harkav to, so transporting the animal to the azara, the ha'avato michutz latchum, and bringing it from outside the tchum into Yerushalayim, the chatichat yabalto, and cutting off any yabelet, any wart that might be on the animal, ein dochin et haShabbat. Those things don't supersede Shabbat. Rabbi Eliezer omer, but Rabbi Eliezer says dochin. They do supersede Shabbat. So we've got an important machloket there. Really about machshirei mitzvah. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda holds that, Rabbi Eliezer holds machshirei mitzvah are permitted, or machshirei korban are permitted, whereas the chachamim hold that it's not permitted. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, v'halo dinhu, can't we learn it as a sort of kal vachomer? Maim shechita shehi mishum melacha docha et haShabbat. So you look at shechita. Shechita is mamash melacha, and it supersedes Shabbat. So elu, these things like cutting off the yabelet and bringing it from outside the tchum, shehi mishum shvut, which are prohibited mishum shvut rather than midoraita, lo yidchu et haShabbat, then surely they should supersede Shabbat. Amalei Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua said, no, I don't agree with this. Yom Tov Yochiach, I can bring a proof against what you said from Yom Tov. She'etiru bo mishum melacha. On Yom Tov we find that certain things are permitted at which are melacha. V'asur bo mishum shvut. But nevertheless, certain things which are prohibited of shvut are still prohibited on Yom Tov. So just because a melacha is permitted doesn't mean to say that shvuts are also going to be permitted. Look at the Rashi in the middle of the wide lines. Yom Tov Yochiach Shesh Tiru Shchita Ubishol Shoav Melacha Umutarin Lahedyot. So you can do Shchita and you can cook. Those are both Avot Melachot, and you can do them even for no sacrificial purpose. V'Ashru Bo Lahavid Avar Mechutz L'Tchum. But nevertheless, they said you can't bring something from outside the Tchum or La'ochlo and eat it. Hova Hava Efshal Ameetmol, seeing as it's something that you could have done the previous day. Even though we're saying here that tchumin are d'rabanan. So there's a question about tchumin, are they d'orait or are they d'rabanan? But most poskim hold that even if we hold they're d'orait, that's yud bet mil is d'orait. But alpayim amah is d'rabanan. So bringing it, you can't really travel, it's difficult to travel yud bet mil on the Yom Tov in any event. But we're talking here about tchumin d'rabanan. So Rabbi Yoshua is countering it and saying that just because something is permitted midoraita doesn't mean to say that shvut will also be permitted. Amale Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer said, Mase Yoshua, what are you talking about? Ma raya rashut la mitzvah, how can you bring a proof from rashut? You're talking about a rashut. A rashut is something optional, okay? That's where bishul is permitted on Yom Tov. Whereas I'm talking about a mitzvah. So it's true, yeah, with a rashut, just because something is permitted midoraita doesn't necessarily mean to say that it's going to be permitted midrabanan, or the shvuts are going to be permitted. But with a mitzvah and with a korban, then it should mean that. Heshiv Rabbi Akiva va'amasa Rabbi Akiva chipped in and he responded, Hazaa tochiach. So let's bring a proof from Hazaa, from the sprinkling. Shehi mishum a mitzvah, vehi mishum shvut, ve'ena docha et haShabbat. Hazaa, meaning that when you've got a person who is tamei, Rashi explains, third line up, the tamei meit shechal shvili shalol yot be'erev Shabbat erev Pesach. got a person who's Tamei Mate, so they need to have Hazar on the third day and on the seventh day. And the seventh day falls on Shabbat Erev Pesach. If you don't do the Hazar, then they won't be able to offer up the Korban Pesach. And nonetheless, that it doesn't supersede Shabbat, even though it's only a Shvut. Because this is the tradition that Rabbi Akiva has, that it doesn't supersede. And Hazaa is definitely only Asur Midrabanan. What Malacha is there? It looks like you're fixing this person. This person was Tamei, and you've now made him into a Tahor person. So back to the Gemara. Heshiv Rabbi Akiva Mahazah Tochiach Shehimishum Mitzvah Behimishum Shvut Veina Tochayet HaShabbat. So we can see that, yeah, sometimes a Shvut doesn't supersede Shabbat, even though it's Letzarech Mitzvah. So don't get so distressed by what's going on in this Mishnah. Yeah, it's true that Har Kavto v'Avato Michutz Litchun v'Chatichat Yabalto are only prohibited Mishum Shvut, and it's true that they're for a mitzvah, but we've got a model elsewhere that that this will still be prohibited on Shabbat. Amalo Rabbi Eliezer Valea Nidaan. So Rabbi Eliezer says, yeah, this is exactly the problem I've got. Umayim Shchita Shehimishum Lacha Tochayta Shabbat. Shchita, which is Malacha supersedes Shabbat. Hazaa Shehimishum Shvut. Eino Din Shetochayta Shabbat. I'm not happy with your contention that you're starting off with, that that the Hazaa shouldn't supersede Shabbat. I think it should supersede Shabbat, so it will enable the person to offer up the Korban Pesach. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva or Chiluf. So Rabbi Akiva said to him, yeah, but we can say it to the other way round. Ma'im Hazaa Shehimishum Shvut Eina Dochayet HaShabbat. I could well argue that Hazaa, which is only a Shvut, and I know that that doesn't supersede Shabbat, Shchita Shehimishum Malacha Eino Din Shelo Tidchayet HaShabbat. Then actually, maybe, you know, let's go back to the drawing board and let's discuss whether the Shchita even supersedes Shabbat. So Rabbi Eliezer said to him, "Akiva karta mashikatuk b'Torah. If you do that, then you're destroying or uprooting the rule in the Torah that the Korban Pesach is offered up b'moador in its correct time, bein b'chol bein b'Shabbat. And we darshan from that that it's offered up b'moador bein b'chol bein b'Shabbat, whether it falls on a weekday or on Shabbat." Amalo Rebbe Habalo Moed Laelu Kmoed Amalo Rebbe Haveli Moed Laelu Kmoed Lashchita. So look at Rashi. Haveli Moed Laelu Sheyehezman Kavua Lahen Kamashe Kavua Lishchita. Hilka Kevin de Lokvia Lhu Zimna Matsi Lemavad Luma Etmol Lo Dachu. So he's saying, well, there's a difference, because the other things, that they don't have a moed, a fixed time when they have to be done, in the same way that shechita has to be done. Haveli moed leilu. Convince me that there's a fixed time for these things, kmoed la shechita, as there is for shechita. There isn't. Those things are machshirei mitzvah, so they can be done any time. They could have been done previously. And therefore, they don't supersede Shabbat. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva, and this is the point that Rabbi Akiva established as a klal. Kol Melacha she'efshar la'asot tamei erev Shabbat eina dochayet haShabbat. Anything that could be done on erev Shabbat doesn't get done before Shabbat. Shechita she'efshar la'asot tamei erev Shabbat dochayet haShabbat. But shechita which you can't do before Shabbat does supersede Shabbat. So that's our principle here in terms of b'mo'ada. Anything that has to be done on this day, then can be done on this day. Anything that doesn't have to be done on this day, and can be done either on a previous day or a subsequent day, then doesn't get done on Shabbat. Before we go on in the Gemara, I just want to pick up on a couple of points for consideration. So to start with Lechem Mishnah. Lechem Mishnah in Perek Aleph of Hilchot Korban Pesach, Halacha Yud Chet. So we've got the various things that can be done on Shabbat, the various things that can't be done on Shabbat. So the Lechem Mishnah is going to ask about the Hekdech Chalavim. The Hekdech Chalavim is just burning the fats. Question is, why does that, we've said that can be done on Shabbat. Question is, why should the burning of the fats actually have to be done on Shabbat? We know, for example, that in other instances, like, you know, the daily sacrifices, the Hekdech Chalavim Ve'ivarim, you know, was not necessarily done bo bayom. It was often done afterwards, you know, depending how busy they were on the Mizbeach. So if that's the case, you know, here we should say definitely, well, you know, that so whether the Mizbeach is busy or not busy, you know, if this is something that can be left till tonight, then much better to leave it till tonight when it's Motzei Shabbat, rather than doing it on Shabbat. So let's look at the Lechem Mishnah. Lechem Mishnah says, "Vim tomar v'hekdei chalavim nami efshal asotan achar Shabbat." That you can do the hekdei chalavim after Shabbat. She'am rishon b'parik elu devarim, quoting our Gemara. Tana Amar Rabbi Shimon borei kama chaviva mitzvah b'shata. Shahaverei evarim uftarim kol halayla, ve'im mamtinin lahem al shetechshach. V'im kein maishna hani. So he's saying that there's a notion of. There's a notion of chaviva mitzvah b'shata, okay, that it's always good to do a mitzvah, you know, at the best possible time, rather than to, even though you can be yotzei with it at a later time, that's not the best time to do it. So, you know, that should be the case here. Also, we're saying that's why the Hekdech Chalavim will be on Shabbat. Yesh lomar de Hekdech Chalavim mikol makom mitzvatan havei bayom v'zuhi mitzvah min hamuvchar. Daha biyom tov shechaliot b'chol havei davka biyom v'lo balayla v'im kein kishechaliot b'shabbat afal pishef shaliot balayla mikol makom mitzvatan min hamuvchar havei biyom masha'ein kein bahani. So he's saying the Hekdech Chalavim something which it's mitzvah min hamuvcha to do it in the day, as opposed to that tzliyah, as opposed to roasting it, and the hadachat kravav, where there's no mitzvah min hamuvcha to do it in the day. So it's a very interesting notion, in the sense that the hekdech chalavim ve'ivarim, even though it's perfectly acceptable to do it in the day, at night, it's mitzvah min hamuvcha to do it bo bayom. And this, I think, is quite a big chiddush, because what we're saying is that even mitzvah min hamuvcha is doche Shabbat. That's quite a big chiddush. I wouldn't have necessarily reached that conclusion by myself. I might have, okay, mitzvah, something which I have to do on Shabbat, then it's doche Shabbat. But something which I can do after Shabbat, it's just not mitzvah min hamuvcha. Better to leave it till after Shabbat. Kama shalom, this is what we're seeing from that, that's not the case. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. Learn a little bit of the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. So we've got a brighter halacha zunit alma min bnei b'teira. This halacha was concealed from bnei b'teira. Bnei b'teira were the nasiim at the time. Look at Rashi. Halacha zu she pesach docha shabbat was concealed from the Bnei B'Teira and the Siyim Hayu. So this is already quite an astonishing thing, and we're going to see a discussion in the Achronim how this could be. But we'll take it as a given for the time being. It's very strange. You know, we've just learned this in the Mishnah. You know, it's the Moed for the Korban Pesach is Shabbat. So, yeah, you know, you offer up Korban Pesach on Shabbat. But Bnei B'Teira weren't aware of that. Once upon a time, 14th of Nisan fell on a Shabbat. Shachachu v'lo yadrim Pesach dochat haShabbat, and they'd forgotten, and they just didn't know, does Pesach supersede Shabbat or not? Imlav Amru, so they said, Klum yesh adam sheyotem Pesach dochat haShabbat. Imlav, is there anybody who knows whether Pesach supersedes Shabbat or not? Amru lahem, they said to them, Adam Echad Yeshala mi Bavel. There's somebody who's just come from Bavel. The Hillel HaBavli Shemor. His name is Hillel the Babylonian. Sheshimei Shnei Gedolei Hador Shemai Avtalion, who did Shimush with two Gedolim of the generation with Shemai Avtalion. V'yodem Pesach Dosh Chag Shabbatim Lav. And he knows if the Korban Pesach supersedes Shabbat or not. Shalchu v'karulo. So they sent a message and they called him. Amrulon, they said to him, Klumat Hayodema Pesach Dochet HaShabbatim Lav. Do you know whether Pesach supersedes Shabbat or not? Amar Lahem, he said to them, V'chi Pesach Echad Yeshlanu B'Shana Shedochet HaShabbat. Is there only one Pesach a year that supersedes Shabbat? V'alo Abayotem Imatayim Pesachim Yeshlanu B'Shana Shedochinet HaShabbat. We've got more than 200 Pesachim every year that supersedes Shabbat. So what does it mean we've got more than 200 Pesachim every year that supersedes Shabbat? Obviously, you've only got one Korban Pesach. But look at Rashi. He says, Kuloma, Yotemi Matayim Korban, not Yeshidochin Shabbat, B'Shana. You've got more than 200, I'd say, statutory Korbanot, which supersede Shabbat. Chamishim Shabbatot HaShana. You've got 50 Shabbatot of the year. B'chol Shabbat B'Shabbat Arba'a Kvasim, Shnayim L'Tmidim U'Shnayim L'Musafin. And you offer up four sheep every Shabbat, Hare Matayim. That gives you 200. Levad Shabbat Shabbatot HaPesach V'toch Echag. Besides the Shabbat, Chol HaMoed Pesach, Chol HaMoed Sukkot. Shekrevi Bahem Mutzvei Hayom, Shabbat Tla'im B'Pesach V'Arba'a Asar Echag, including many more the goats on Pesach and Shavuot. So Hillel HaBavli was saying that, you know, what sort of question is this? This is Maasim Sheba, I was going to say Maasim Shebachol Yom, but Maasim Shebachol Shabbat, something which happens every single Shabbat, so you're offering up the Korban Hayom, and the Korban Pesach is also a Korban Hayom, so of course it supersedes Shabbat. So back in the Gemara, we've got more than 200 psachim every year, statutory korbanot, which supersedes Shabbat. Amrulo, they said to him, Minayna lach, where do you get this from? Amalahem, so they said to them, Ne'emar mo'ador b'fesach, v'ne'emar mo'ador b'tamid. The term mo'ador comes up both in the context of Pesach and in the context of the korban tamid. Ma mo'ador ha'mo b'tamid dochet ha'shabbat. Just as the Moed mentioned with the Korban Tamid supersedes Shabbat, so you offer up the Korban Tamid on Shabbat. Af Moador HaMor B'Pesach Dochet HaShabbat. Likewise, the Moador mentioned on Pesach also supersedes Shabbat. V'od Kal V'Chomer, and furthermore, I can tell you it's a Kal V'Chomer. Uma Tamid She'in Ane Anush Karet Dochet HaShabbat. So you've got the Korban Tamid, which if you don't do it, so you don't get a karet for it, but nevertheless it supersedes Shabbat. Pesach She'anush Karet, the Korban Pesach, where there is a punishment of karet if you don't do it, Ein Odin She'dochet HaShabbat, isn't it a Kal V'Chomer that it should supersede Shabbat? Miat Hoshivu Barosh, so immediately they sat him at the top of the conclave, Umi Nuhu Nasi Alehem, and they pointed at him as a Nasi over them, Vahaya Yosef Doresh Kolayom, and he sat teaching the whole day long, Kulo Behilchot HaPesach, teaching the Halachot of Pesach, Hitkil Mekantaram Bidvarim, and he started aggravating them by saying certain things. Amalehem Migaram Lachem, She'ele Mibavel Vahir Nasi Alechem. What is it that caused me that I should be able to come up from Bavel and become the Nasi? Atzalut Shaitabachem. It's because you were lazy bones. Shelosh Yimashtem Shnei Gedolei Hador Shemaya V'Avtalion. Because you never served and did Shimush with the two Gedolim, Shemaya and Avtalion. So it's emphasizing the value and the importance of Shimush Talmidei Chachamim, that if you have real close engagement with Talmidei Chachamim, then you will learn the sugyas better. So I want to deal with just a couple of points here. Primary point being this question of how could it be they didn't know this din of the Korban Pesach being Doche Shabbat. We know it from the Mishnah. So, okay, maybe we only know it from the Mishnah, but it's something which wasn't uncommon. Remember, this was in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. And it's not uncommon that Erev Pesach falls on a Shabbat. You know, it happens every now and then. It's not, you know, we know it's one of those calendrical quirks that, you know, you have it, you don't have it for, you know, 12, 13 years, and then you have it twice in fairly close succession, and then you go another 20 years without it. You know, it's all a bit random, but, you know, it's not the first time in 240 years that it's come up. So let's look at a couple of answers, and we'll start with the Not Rabbi Yehuda in the Tzlach. So the Not Rabbi Yehuda says that the Gemara, where it says right at the beginning, Halacha Zu, is not the halacha we're about to come onto. That was a different question. It's a case. Now, it says, look at the Gemara. The Gemara is Halacha Zu Nitama B'nei B'nei Teira. Okay, a certain halacha was concealed from B'nei B'teira. And then there was another case. Another case was the 14th falling on Shabbat. So let's see what the Not Rabbi Yehuda says. The very fact that they allowed the 14th of Nisan to fall on a Shabbat, that was the halacha being concealed from them. What does he mean? The Kavanah Basel Pimata Amru Sanhedrin Daf Yud Bet. He's referring us to a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin in the first parak. Tanu Rabbanan Ein Ma'abrin Hashana Mipnei Hatuma. So you can't do Ibor Hashana just because of Tuma. So, you know, just because lots of people are Tamei, you don't turn the year into a leap year. Rabbi Shimon Omer Ma'abrin. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, you can do Ibor Hashanah in those circumstances. So that's essentially the first point of contention or discussion that we've got here. The question of doing Ibor Shana in the context of people being tamei, umavua de pluptaihuim tuma tuchia betzibor hutra. It all relates to the big question of whether tuma, where you've got most people in the tzibor are tamei, so then you can do the korban pesach. Does that mean to say it's tuchia or hutra? Meaning to demand ama tuchia ma'abrin. Tuchia means it supersedes something, but it's not 100% permitted. You have this question with Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbat as well. Various other things. Is it Hutra or Dechuya? Meaning, we've got Halakha, if most people are Tamei, then you offer up the Korban Pesach Betuma. Do we say that what that means is that it's 100% permissible? It's as if they weren't Tamei. It's as if they were Tahor. Or do we say, no, they're still Tamei, but there's a special din that when most people are Tamei, then you can still offer up the Korban Pesach. So if it's the latter, so it would be better to try and push off Pesach a bit, another month, to give those people a chance to become Tahor, and then they would offer up the Korban Pesach in a better state. Whereas if we say it's Hutra, so then there's no problem, it's 100% fine. Pesach Sheni fits in that if you've got most people at Tamei, then you offer up Pesach Rishon. But if you've only got a few people who are Tamei, or a minority of the people who are Tamei, then they offer up Pesach Sheni. But Pesach Sheni is never going to be as good as Pesach Rishon. So, any event, he goes, we won't go through the whole Not Rabbi Yehuda now, but basically, what he's saying is that they had the option, or they certainly had the question about whether or not they could be Ma'aber the Chodesh, so that, either Ma'aber the Chodesh, or at least lengthen, the previous month, so that Erev Pesach wouldn't fall on a Shabbat, and that seems to be the preferred thing to do. That if possible, they should have pushed off Pesach, seeing as they could change it by a day. If you just make the previous month a day longer, and then Erev Pesach won't fall on a Shabbat. They could have done that, and then they wouldn't have had this whole question of offering up the Korban Pesach on Shabbat. And that was the question that they weren't fully aware of. So that's what the Nod Abihuda says. If you look in the Ein Yaakov brings this Gemara, and just in one of the Peirushim, he gives a couple of explanations that's culled from elsewhere. So he says, "Afal pe she'elecha shtei shmitot shelo yachol bo erev Pesach b'Shabbat." The Yerushalmi points out that, you know, certainly every 14 years you'll get an erev Pesach on Shabbat. Sometimes it can be longer, but afal pichein lo yadu et halacha mipnei shemin hashamayim ratzu latet makom lehillel la'alot ligdula. So they were just, it was min hashamayim that they weren't able to remember this din, so that it would give Hillel Hazakein a chance to be promoted. And he says that's not so radical. So we see a similar notion that Moshe Rabbeinu, why did Moshe Rabbeinu forget the halacha of kenayim poginbo? That when a person has a physical relationship with an Oved Avodah Zarah, that we've got Kenayim Poginbo, that zealous people can attack him. Moshe Rabbeinu forgot that, but Pinchas knew that halacha. And Moshe Rabbeinu forgot it so that Pinchas could be in the spotlight over that halacha. Or Yesh Lomar Dolam Yadu Et Halacha, maybe they did know the halacha. El HaShatam, they knew that you could offer up the Korban Pesach on Shabbat, they just weren't sure why. And a further possibility is that that's how you mekadshim al pi ha-re'iya. In those days, they used to be mekadesh the chodesh al pi ha-re'iya by seeing the new moon. V'ishtadlu shelo yachul erev Pesach b'Shabbat. And in actual fact, they tried usually to fix things, as it were, so that Erev Pesach wouldn't fall on the Shabbat. And therefore it actually was a very uncommon occurrence. And that way they didn't know the halacha. In terms of seeing as they always tried to avoid it, sometimes it was unavoidable. That's the way the months worked out. You couldn't add in another day or whatever it was. But they tried to avoid it, and therefore it could have been, you know, 50 years since they'd had this case, and nobody could remember exactly what was done. The Meiri makes an observation about Shemaiah v'Avtali, about B'nai B'Teira appointing Hillel to this position of Gedula. It says as possible as follows: Kol shenit manem manhigal atzibur ra'ui lo sheyem ishtadel b'chol kol koach la'anid karaui la'hanhagah ha'masura lo. So whoever's pointed as a manhig, as a leader, a guide for the tzibur, should really try hard to make sure that he's leading the people correctly and with the correct traditions. And if his role is to be a religious leader, then he really needs to know his onions, needs to know all the halakhot. And anybody who comes to drive him mad with questions, he needs to be able to answer them. And if he knows that he's not really up to it, then it's to his credit. You know, don't be ashamed. Take off your mantle of authority and give it to somebody who knows what they're doing. Derech Ara Anrukan with a Talmud Hamara Valsikne B'Devatira Shayuna Siim V'Yodim B'Manhigim. So he says, yeah, you know, we see in our sugya here about the B'nai B'teira, they passed over the mantle of leadership to Hillel because Hillel had was more baki in the halacha than they were. And he goes on to say that this happened three times in history, that people took off their crown, as it were, and passed it on to somebody they regarded as better suited to the job. was Yonatan ben Shaul, Rabbi Elazar, who allowed David HaMelech to become the king, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who allowed Rabban Gamliel to be the Nasi, and the Bnei B'Teira. And he says that, in actual fact, the Bnei B'Teira, they were the greatest out of the three, because the others, it wasn't so obvious. Sorry, it was obvious to everybody that there were greater people than them. But with Bnei B'Teira, it wasn't so obvious to everybody. Nonetheless, they recognized the Emet and they passed on the leadership to others. So Ad Kan for this evening's share.